Cyrus Ching tries again today to get a peace movement started in steel. He'll have another talk with representatives of the U.S. Steel in New York, and in Bluefield, West Virginia, the Southern coal operators have a contract talk with United Mine Workers. There's a widespread belief in the coal industry that Ching soon will enter this dispute, too. The director of the Minnesota CIO Political Action Committee sees a dark future for taxpayers unless a liberal state legislature is elected next year. Robert Gannon told 300 delegates to a committee meeting in Minneapolis yesterday that at least four things would happen if Republicans remain in control. One, a 3% general retail tax will be levied. Two, a gross income tax will be added to the present net income tax. Three, the property tax will be abolished, resulting in a revenue loss of $31 million. Gannon thinks that large firms will benefit if the property tax is revoked. And four, fewer exemptions will be granted to income taxpayers. National Guard leaders have charged the Air Force with trying to replace Guard units with an Air Reserve force which they can control. These were the words of Major General Ellard A. Walsh of Minneapolis, head of the U.S. National Guard Association. He said this in an interview, that the Air Force doesn't want any National Guard, period. And if you want names, I'll name them, Walsh added. They're Symington, Vandenberg, and Cusada. These are Air Secretary Stuart W. Symington, General Hoy S. Vandenberg, Chief of the Air Force, and General Elwood Cusada, Chief of Staff for the National Air Guard and Air Reserves. Walsh is in Montgomery, Alabama, for the National Guard Conference, opening today. Minnesota Senator Ed Thigh has appointed two youths to enter West Point Military Academy next July. They are Jerome Anderson of Breckenridge and William Duffy of Northfield. Alternates for Anderson are George Rice of Bayport, Raymond Kemple of St. Paul, and Gerald McCullough of Minneapolis. Alternates for Duffy are Hubert Guile, Jr. of St. Paul, Robert Gardsmo of Lake Park, and Roble Johnson, Jr. of Faribault. A 75-foot cosmic ray research balloon released at Minneapolis traveled about 1,000 miles before coming down to Earth near New York, Pennsylvania. It's all part of experiments being carried on by the Navy Department. Instruments attached to the balloon came down last Tuesday near Medford, Wisconsin. That's the same day the cosmic ray balloon was released at the University Airport. In hockey last night, St. Paul skated to a 4-3 win over Omaha, while Kansas City, Mohawks, and Minneapolis played to a 5-5 tie. An important high school football game, Creighton remained in the Catholic Prep School Championship fight by defeating St. Thomas Academy 21-13. Well, there you have the sports news, the latest news, and now for the lighter side of the news, we bring you Daily Dingers. It is said here, and wisely so, that few and far between are those who have a perfectly practical reason for wanting a tattoo job. Ammon thinks the best example that he ever heard, and this man's name is Ammon, who advanced this statement, was the head of a San Francisco fellow who suffered attacks of amnesia. He was a salesman and he had to travel a good deal, so he had his name needled on himself in 120 languages. That included the international code, and he also had it done in Braille and shorthand. Ammon has spent a lot of his spare time reading up on ancient practitioners of the art, and he thinks the most interesting psychological case involving tattooing was that of a French soldier back in 1880 or somewhere thereabouts, who apparently suffered a severe inferiority complex only being a buck private. So he had himself tattooed as a general, starting with a gold braid on his bare shoulders and medals on his chest, and concluding with officer's boots. The records indicate the soldier never rose far in the ranks, but Ammon imagined he must have had a wonderful time when he took a bath. Another of the most unusual tattooing jobs on the books is that of a Parisian criminal who seemingly had no doubt he'd end up with his head on the guillotine. He had a tasteful blueprint done on his neck with a message above the shoulder blades reading, quote, executioner, please follow the dotted line. Wow. Unquote. If you've been getting worried over the possibility of your thinker being replaced by a machine, relax. It'll never happen. That comes from a University of Texas professor who's a whiz on those complex machines, sometimes known as mechanical or electric brains. Dr. S. Leroy Brown says a perfect example is a machine called the Synthetizer Analyzer. It'll work out problems that'd take years of manpower, tons of paper, and miles of pencils. But Doc Brown says it still takes a human to give the machine a problem Thus, he says, we're always needing humans, if for nothing else, at least, to make problems. A very sage observation. There are a lot of modern youngsters who will agree with Charlie Storms of Goshen, New York, when he claims he was a Spratlin in the good old days. Charlie, who's 100 now, says that one of the nice things was that school bells hardly ever rang for his ear. He says there were hardly any such things as schools around my neck of the woods when I was a boy. Well, 50 million Frenchmen might be wrong about some things, but they're right on the beam when it comes to women. At least two Endicott, New York college students who have made a delighted study of Paris say French girls are neater chicks than the American variety in many ways. Now, for example, both Richard Ives and Richard Powell say French girls make better companions. They're in agreement that French lasses are more athletic, too, and wear less makeup, and are, as they put it, more emotionally mature. Ives and Powell aren't through yet. They say French girls are more feminine, and that, from what they observe, they are better housewives because they worry about home instead of a career. If Ives and Powell have a mite of trouble getting dates on their campus after this, it will surprise no one. Not only that, editorially, we dare say, and we say, quote, it'll serve them right, unquote. I like the college kids here, myself. They're cute, they're interesting, they're adequate, and they've got brains. Hurrah for America. Well, good friends, that winds up another Clock Watcher show. We start rolling up the rocks up the hill to make the sunrise on Monday morning, because there's a long week ahead, but we hope a pleasant one for you and for your humble, obedient Clock Watcher, who's brought transcribed music, time, temperature, which is now 28 degrees, and we'll see you tomorrow. So goodbye, good luck, laugh at your ills, pay your bills, and behave yourselves. So long.
This is KSTP and KSTP-FM, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Studies at a large university prove again milk is nature's most nearly perfect food. The Milk Foundation of the Twin Cities points out that fresh pasteurized milk is rich in food essentials. To guard your health, to give growing children needed nourishment, see that your family drinks plenty of fresh pasteurized milk.